Welcome to C3 San Diego. Need something fresh, real, and powerful in your life? Connect with us on social media, get live stream service notifications, podcasts, and up-to-date information on upcoming events. We are so glad you're joining us for a powerful, life-transforming message from one of our C3 San Diego pastors. We would love to hear about how God is impacting your life through this ministry. Please share your experience with us at info@c3sandiego.com. If you'd like to be a part of what C3 Church is doing in the city of San Diego and beyond, you can contribute financially by going to c3give.com and choosing the giving option that works best for you. We hope you enjoy this message.
Yeah, I'm still just messed up over Kelsey's deal, you know? I'm just still tracking tears, man. That was real stuff, right? It's North County, 5 o'clock real. Amen? The no BS zone. It's where we have arrived. And, man, that just hit me. And then what happened around that was like what you were sharing was so amazing. And I thought, wow, look at this cool scripture that the Lord gave me. As we left the hotel, I just got done talking to our son, Bryce. He was in Nashville, going through some stuff, praying with him, and I thought, man, I need to put this on the thing for tonight. And look at this scripture. It's in Zechariah. It's the third chapter. And I thought about what she was sharing, and I thought, whoa, dude, look at this. And the angel showed me Yeshua, the high priest, standing before the angel. Now, this is a guy, Zechariah, he's a prophet, Old Testament, and he's having this vision. And this vision, if you will, a lot of these pictures, 1 Corinthians 10 says, the pictures in the Old Covenant, or the Old Testament, are for us to learn from. They're pictures for us. And we can not only apply the actual meaning of Yeshua and what was happening in Israel, but we can actually apply that to our lives. So when he says, I looked and I saw the high priest, you see that? Standing before the angel of the Lord, he's actually talking about us. Just touch the person next to you and say, he's talking about you. He's talking about you. And it says, the accuser, Satan there, the accuser, Satan. He's got two tools, temptation and accusation. You're never going to make it. You're not good enough. Stuff. You know, I'm talking, maybe I'm talking 150, 160 words a minute. You know, you can read about 180, 200 words a minute. But did you know self-talk at its lowest speed is 400 words a minute? So I'm talking, you're going, yeah, that's good. And I got to do that thing Tuesday. It's like, yeah, that's good. And why did Pastor Matt wear those pants? You know, it's like, that's good. They bring out his eyes. I don't know. Yeah, I mean, right? So this stuff's going. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Just like traffic stuff. So the enemy has his own traffic thing, and it's called accusation. And it says, the accuser, Satan, was there at the angel's right hand making accusations against you. And watch this next verse. This is awesome. Dude, this is unbelievable. Look at this. Watch this. And the Lord said to Satan, I, the Lord, reject your accusation. Over Kelsey weren't just for her to reject. The Lord rejected the accusation over her. The cross at Calvary rejected the accusation over you. Listen, it's not just the cross, it's the empty tomb. There's an empty grave where Jesus defeated the enemy, defeated death, and every accusation of the enemy is rejected in the name of Jesus. Somebody. Bam! I got it. Man. Careful, huh? I do a really good Joe Cocker and it's weird, but So as you're sharing it, I'm like, you know, we have all been hit with these accusations, haven't we? Oh, Jesus. You know, and the enemy's evil. The enemy's, because he hits you right at the worst moment. Anybody ever notice that? It's like, okay, I'm down, and you're like, it's like, bam. And then here's what the Lord says. This man, who's talking about you. He says, this person, this girl, this little girl, this man, this guy that was in the fire, about to be consumed by the accusations of the enemy, says, I snatched him from the fire. Look at that. He says, I snatched him from the fire. We have been rescued from the fire of accusation, the fire of adversity. Come on, somebody. Man, I'm pumped. Man, I just... What a great story. And thank you for being vulnerable on that thing. You know, I mean, that's just like transparency. That's why the Word of God's so powerful. God's just real honest about a lot of stuff. He didn't just say, hey, David was this really cool king. He goes, David messed up a couple times. He's like, tells you stuff. Like stuff his friends didn't know. It's like... But here's the beauty of this. This word is his word for us. And it's alive. It's a book of miracles, Pastor Matt. And I want to pray over this right now. I'm so fired up about this, you know. I reject the accusations. See, it's not just me. It's Jesus in me. The power that created the universe. Listen, the power that spoke, let there be light, and it is going so fast that every time they measure it, it can't be measured. Like it's unmeasurable. It's irreducible. It's that same God held the earth out in space and let go, and it stayed there. That God said, I reject the accusations over your life. Come on, let's pray over this. Father, I thank you for your word. I thank you for life. I thank you, Father, tonight here in this place, we are free from the accusations of the enemy. Father, we no longer have to live under the darkness and the clouds of accusation. But Father, we are free, free. Come on, everybody say, come on, we're free. Just begin to declare it. Speak it over your life right now. I'm free of the accusation of the enemy. Come on. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you for life itself. I thank you I'm free in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. All right, cool stuff. Hey, turn around to four or five people and just tell them this is going to be really good for you. It's going to be really good for you. Thanks. Amen. Hey, what about this band and these singers? Are these guys? You guys have like a name or something? Like we should name the band, you know? Satan Butt Kickers or something. You know? One of my favorite groups is classic, the War on Drugs. They ought to be like the War on Hell. You know, we just call them the War on Hell. And so good to be here. And my spectacular and amazing, beautiful wife, Judy, is with me right here. Come on, give her a hand. Come on, come on, come on. Help me out. That's how you do points, man. That's how the point thing works, man. Like after that second service fail this morning, you're like about halfway back, I think. And it's like... Oh, man, we love Pastor Matt and Michaela. They are the best, aren't they? You guys are awesome. You guys get up here, and you're just like so real. It's just so cool. And I'm like, wow, I want to be like that when I grow up, man. I'll be like Matt. And Pastor Jurgen and Leanne are heroes to us, you know, think about this. Like they left... Australia, And they're like, hey, where are we going to go? And they're like, San Diego. Isn't that amazing? God would do that and put them here. But they saw it before they ever arrived, didn't they? Yeah, see, the things that you desire in the natural must be first obtained in the supernatural. And so most people stop pulling because the pull from the supernatural to the natural is a fight. Victory is always on the other side of a fight. Touch somebody and say, this is already good for you. And then turn to the other person next to you and go, and dude, you need this, man. You need this. I just want to share a few thoughts tonight. We are really honored, and I do, again, want to bring back that about Pastor Jurgen and Leanne. We really do honor them. And they have accepted a huge role as head of the Americas, C3 Americas. And so out of this church, and remember, the church is not the building, church is the people. And so we got a little saying. My son, Brandon, pastors a church that we started in our living room years ago, and it's C3 Fort Worth. And it is an awesome church, he and his beautiful wife, Meredith. And we just have a little saying that we do at C3 Fort Worth, and that is, we be church. We be church, because wherever you go, we are the church. See, you come here as a collection of people in a building as the church, and when we leave, we are the church in the culture. And the reason that one of the things that we love so much about this, and what I saw at the men's conference was, I saw, you know, a lot of people talk about discipling. That means mentoring. That means imparting yourself. Paul said this, and I'll talk about it in a minute about fathers, but Paul said this, you have 10,000 instructors, but not many fathers. You see, an instructor tells you what he knows, but a father gives you who he is. So the key is that there's so many people who will tell you didn't do that right, tell you that didn't work right, who will tell you you should have done this, you should have done that. Hey, you know, I mean, I know we have some young fathers in here, and you know, one of the best parts of life is, and we have 5 grandkids and another one December 3rd, come on, and coming up, and I'm pumped about that. And but watching our little, like the 4-year-olds when they play soccer, you ever watch that thing? Like there's a ball, and then there's a clump of 2 different colored groups, like there's a green team and a yellow team, and they're all together, and they're all walking around the ball and stuff, and they're all this. I love that whole little child thing and stuff, and the fact is that if you're, as a dad, you're standing there going, see the one in the end? That's my kid. You mean the one that just fell over the other one? Yeah, but he got back up. Right? I mean, because you're like, see, that's my nephew right there. That's my niece. You've got this thing. But if you're an instructor, you go, no, he's not doing that right. Hey, whoa. You know, it's instruction. It's not heart. It's head. And to be in the beauty of Pastor Jurgen and Leanne is they didn't just give us their knowledge, they gave us their hearts. When they said they put everything into it, I'm talking they put everything. And so I honor them. Honor is a word, the original word in the older languages of the Old Testament. When it says to honor something, it means to give weight to something. You know, like heaviness or a weight. And what it literally means is back in those days, you know, they had the scales. And when you added weight to something and the scale went down on that side, it meant you actually added value. So when you honor someone, you have begun to give them greater value. When you dishonor something, you've taken their value from them. Hello. That's why in a marriage and in a relationship, God has called men to honor their wives. What does that mean? That means to add value. And a man adds value by keeping his word. Oh, man, I already jumped in it, didn't I? It's not even on the notes. Guys are going like, you can chill right there. But the fact is that when a man keeps his word, it makes his name good. And God's name is good because he's never failed to keep his word. So we trust his word. And so his name is good because his word is good. So as a man, when I keep my word to my wife, I not only add value or honor her, I make my name good for her to carry. So if I don't keep my word and dishonor the marriage and decrease her value in front of others and to herself, she no longer not only wants my word, she no longer wants my... Turn to somebody and just say, hashtag drop the mic. Just right there, right there. Come on, come on. Help me out. They told me 5 o'clock's loud. Awesome. Let's do this thing. So right now we're gonna talk about. They told me it wasn't that loud. It was loud, not double rainbow guy. It's awesome. So Romans. Okay, come back. Everybody back. Everybody back. And I did bring a book with us called Just a Bartender. It's the story of Nehemiah, who was a cupbearer for the king. And the cut line on that is, unexpected people change the world. And we're going to talk about one of those guys in a moment. The title of the message tonight is Jesus and the Demon Guy. And how God used the guy in the margins. Do you ever notice how much Jesus loved hanging out with people in the margins? Those are some of his best friends. Were people in the margins. God speaks to them. God uses people that other people say, that would never happen. They'll never make it. She'll never get that straight, right? God uses those people when they commit their lives to him. And so we brought some of these. They're here. Don't go on Amazon because they're already back ordered. It came out Tuesday and they went on back order Friday. So yeah, I don't know. We got $5 sort of, what's that thing called? When you get some, I don't know. It's, you know where they give you a, help me out. Help out the, sounds like. Discount. No, you get money when you write a book and then they give you a. Royalty, yeah, come on, yeah, come on. Who did that? Who said that? Some guy yelled it out. Some guy, she yelled out, get the book, come on, get the book. Book! Here, give her the book. Sorry. Give her the book. Hook her up. Yep. All right. Royalty sounds like hit her right on the nose. That was awesome. Royalty. So, I don't know. So, that's the book. That's that. Identity. That's what it's about. It's about identity. The Bible teaches us we find our identity in Christ. This book's really just a series of metaphors wrapped in narratives, and it's the story of Jesus Christ, and in his story, we find our story. And your identity, you can write this down or get the, you know, download this morning, but or get the book. We have some, I think. And but your identity is the story you tell yourself about yourself. And we're going to look at a man here in a moment who was telling himself a story about himself that was ripping his life apart. Because he was telling himself the story that other people had said about him. And he was repeating that story. I want you to write this down, and that's this. Unexpected people change the world. Just write it down. And then the next thing I want you to write down is this. When you think nothing is happening, something is happening. Romans 5 says that when we were still sinners, that God sent his son Jesus to die for us. In fact, it says there's a King James word, enmity. It says when we didn't like him, when we didn't want to be around him, when we unfriended him, when we didn't want anything to do with him, it says he still loved us, gave his life for us. See, when we thought nothing was happening, what? something was happening. Now, here's the beautiful part of that. He is the Father who loves us. When Jesus said to pray, he said to pray this way. Our what?
Father.
Our Father who art in heaven. That's a fascinating thing because God's neither male nor female. He's actually all-encompassing male and female. God's a spirit. God is love. Right? So he gave us a picture of who he is. He said, I'm your Father. I want you to look at Hebrews 13:5 with me on the screen. We'll put that up. Hebrews 13:5 speaks of who our Father is in heaven. Because too often what happens is those little voices that we have and the filter we have in our mind, when we hear words, they are always filtered through experiences. So we, most of us, have a filter. When Jesus said, pray our Father, there's a filter that immediately kicks in. Father that bailed, the guy who wasn't there, the one who didn't affirm me, the one who didn't point out that's my kid. All of these filters jump in on us. And here's what God says. I want you to start over here. And this is what he says about himself as our Father. You see that? For he got himself. You see that? Everybody see that?
Yeah.
You guys see that? All right. We're going to read that out loud together. You ready?
Yeah.
All right, go. For he, God himself, has said, I will not in any way fail you, nor give you up, nor leave you without support. I will not, I will not, I will not in any degree leave you helpless, nor forsake, nor let you down, relax my hold on you. That's the Amplified Version. The original in like the King James or the New Living Translation says, for the Lord says he'll be there for you. It's just kind of like when you moved and somebody said, yeah, I'll be there Saturday. And they weren't, right? And so we filter those things through those experiences, but God says, I will never leave you. Too often we think, hey, I'm messed up. I will never be able to qualify for God's love. And he said, no, 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 wait a minute. I will never leave you. You can't go anywhere, have done anything, have experienced anything, have anything happen to you that would separate you from the love of God. That's what this word says over and over and over, that God is your Father and he loves you with a passion, and Jesus is the proof. Can I get an amen, 5 o'clock? Amen? And I love that scripture because it says that. Let me show you a photo. This is, I head up a charity, a ministry based out of C3, Fort Worth, and for 40 years now, started with my father years ago, and called the Christian Men's Network. Today, we style it as the Global Fatherhood Initiative, a human justice mission to defeat fatherlessness and destroy child abuse. 220 million children will be abused, mistreated, and neglected this year alone worldwide. I believe every child deserves a loving dad. Can I get an amen? And you can cut that theologically, semiotically, sociologically, any way you want to cut it, and it's true in every aspect. We all need a loving father. We need that person who will walk with us. So I'm going to show you this photo. This is one of our guys. So we're in 104 nations, and we have tools and materials that we help, that helps pastors disciple men. We've done that in 265,000 churches, about 1 million men every 3 months going through those materials, raising up men, strong men, men of God, men who know how to accept responsibility for being a real man, men who know how to hug their kids as dads, amen? Guys ask me, what should I do with my, you know, what's the best thing to do as a dad? I go, hug them. Just hug your kids, dude. Be close. Let them feel the strength and the affirmation and the safety of a dad. That's our Father in heaven. That's what he said. That's who I am. That's why he gave us that picture, because he's a true father. This guy, 8 years ago, had gone through our materials and gone through our teaching in Indonesia. It was a Sunday morning like this morning, and the church that his wife and daughter were at was firebombed by jihadists. They came in as the people ran for their lives. They cut him with machetes. He was away on another island working that weekend. When he came back, they said, I'm sorry, but your wife and daughter have been taken captive by the jihadists. We don't know where they're at. It took 18 months to find out where they were at. The army wouldn't go in. It was too dangerous. So they, some clerics and some pastors got together and ransomed them. The boat came to their island where he lived, and he rushed up with everyone else, and he looked in the boat. He looked for his wife and his little girl. They weren't there. He freaked out. One of the men came to him and said, I've got to tell you what happened. While your wife was captive to the jihadists, she became the sex slave for the head of the jihadists. And she's had a child. So rather than bring dishonor to you, she has been let off at her father's village. They're going to take care of her and the baby and your other daughter. He said, no, you don't understand. I'm a man of covenant. He said, that's my wife. I gave my word. I'm a man of my word. I'm a man who accepts responsibility. And he rushed to the village. He began to yell out her name. Yell out her name, and all the villagers knew the story. They're all coming out, and he finally sees the father's hut, and the father comes out to the front and says, no, you need to leave. He rushes up. He says, no, you don't understand. That's my wife. And there she is standing right behind the father. He moves the father out of the way. The wife comes up. She's holding this little baby. The man, that guy, grabs that baby, and everybody thinks at that moment, to bring honor to his family, he's going to kill the baby. And he looks at that wife of his, and he says, this is my child. You're my wife. This is our family. That's a father. Watch this. And this picture was taken a year ago. That story became so powerful that people were becoming to Christ, Muslims all over that part of Indonesia. And this picture was taken a year ago because they had to take him to a safe place. And the little baby he had held in his arms is that sweet little girl in that striped sweater. That's a father. See, that's our father. Our father said, I don't care how you got here. I don't care what's happened in your life. I love you with a passion, without hesitation, without qualification. Look at this picture of this guy in Mark the 5th chapter. I want to go there now. Mark the 5th chapter. If you have your phone, open up Mark 5. Whatever you have. I actually hear some paper. That's awesome. Paper's coming back. What do I understand? I want to read it out of the New Living Translation. We'll try to follow me on the screen. But here's what it says. Mark the 5th chapter. This is one of the disciples of Jesus Christ, one of his best friends, and he's writing about something that he actually observed happen. And so it says this, so they arrived on the other side of the lake in the region of the Gerasenes. When Jesus climbed out of the boat, a man possessed by an evil spirit came out from a cemetery to meet him. This man lived among the burial caves and could no longer be restrained, even with a chain. Whenever he was put in chains and shackles, as he often was, he snapped the chains from his wrists and smashed the shackles. No one was strong enough to subdue him. Day and night he wandered among the burial caves in the hills, howling and cutting himself with sharp stones. You see, this man's life's really our life. This is really us. Apart from God and apart from Christ, people are going to try to wrap us up with their stories, and this man's been wrapped up by the chains of other people's stories that they've put on his life, and he can't handle it, and he's just crying. He doesn't know what to pray. God didn't say you have to pray a certain way. He just said, call out for me, and this guy's just howling. You know what he's doing? He's saying, where are you, Father? Watch this. He says, day and night he'd wander, howling, cutting himself with sharp stones. When Jesus was still some distance away, the man saw him, ran to meet him, bowed before him. With a shriek, he screamed, why are you interfering with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? In the name of God, I beg you, don't torture me. For Jesus had already said to the spirit, come out of the man, you evil spirit. Then Jesus demanded, what's your name? And he replied, my name is Legion. In other words, the demons are speaking through him because there are many of us inside this man. Then the evil spirits begged him again and again not to send them to some distant place. There happened to be, this is hilarious, man. Like, this guy's got demons in him, and Jesus goes, you guys are out, and they're going, whoa, 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 wait a minute, where are we going? You got to read the Word of God as real life. These are real people, and it really happened. So put yourself there. Like, what would it be like, you know, like, here this is happening, you know, like at Swami's and something, a guy on the beach. You know what I'm saying? Guy on the beach. Hey, I'm a homeboy. I was born at Scripps in La Jolla. Bam. Judy was born in the city, San Francisco. She grew up in Santa Rosa, and I grew up in Santa Cruz. So we feel at home here. We love this place. All right, here we go. So the demons go, how about those pigs? Happened to be a large herd of pigs, and some of your translations, oh, later it says 2,000. They say, okay. He says, cool, pigs. Evil spirits came out of the man, went into pigs, the entire herd of 2,000 pigs. Men, how much bacon is that? But watch what happens to the bacon. I mean, really, cause I want the guys to feel this. Cause like, if I just go say it's pork, it'd be like, whatever, it's the other white meat. But it's bacon. Down the hillside, in the lake, drowned in the water. Can I hear a boo from the man? Bad. The herdsmen fled nearby towns surrounding the countryside. As soon as the crowd gathered around, they saw the man who had been possessed by a legion of demons, sitting there fully clothed, perfectly sane, all afraid. Those who had seen what happened told the others, demon-possessed man and the pigs. Crowd began to plead with Jesus to go away and leave them alone. See, in this culture, most people had some kind of heightened sense of who they were or some kind of magic or whatever it was, would use that to manipulate other people. Happens in our world today still. But Jesus said, and Jesus was getting in the boat. The man who had been demon-possessed said, hey, I want to go with you. Jesus said, no, don't go with me. This is an odd moment. I'm bringing out this moment. Jesus said, don't go with me. Go to your family. Tell them everything the Lord has done. So the man started off to visit the 10 towns. Everybody say 10 towns. Of that region began to proclaim the great things Jesus had done for him, and everyone was amazed at what he told them. This is awesome, because in chapter 4, we see where Jesus was. He's in front of thousands of people. He's preaching. He's speaking. He's only got 36 months to get this thing done, right? So he's in front of all these people, and God, the Father, says to him, hey, there's a guy in trouble. One guy that everybody thinks is the biggest loser, right? One guy. And God says, because Jesus said, I only do what the Father shows me to do. So if you want to know what God is like, you look at the life of Jesus, right? Because everything he did was reflecting of who his Father is. His compassion, his love for people. We kind of think God's like this old guy up there with a stick. You know, like, you messed up, boom. And one guy on the other side of a lake, and Jesus gets in the boat, goes through a storm in Mark 4, across the lake, and lands right where this guy is. For one guy that everybody says, put the guy in chains. They put him in stories that said he's marginalized, he's a loser, he'll never be anything. One guy. One man. And everybody looks at this guy and says, man, he's... In fact, this is the guy in a cemetery when your mom said, don't walk there. Because it's bad. They were serious. Don't walk by the cemetery. There's a bad guy there. Howling and screaming and crying. Let me give you a couple takeaways on this story. Because I love this story. Because this is my story. This is your story. This is Kelsey's story. Marginalized. People said, nah, nothing good will ever happen with this guy. In fact, this man himself is thinking nothing good will ever happen in my life. And when that's happening, Jesus, on the other side of the lake, is getting in a boat. When you think nothing's happening, something's happening. This guy says, oh, no, man, I'm a big loser. This is terrible. And he's just screaming and crying, and Jesus is coming across the lake. And when the man says, nothing good will ever happen in my life, Jesus is landing right there. So let me give you a couple takeaways. First thing that Jesus did is he landed, he looked at the man, he perceived the issue, and he immediately took authority over the enemy. John 14, 12 says the same things that Jesus did, you and I can do. In fact, he said it. He said, my disciples will do what I've done. And Ephesians says, it says that everything that Jesus had in him is in us. So his very presence, who he is, that power, that same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in us. Jesus showed up. Number one, he took authority over the enemy. Secondly, he proved the value of one person's life. I mean, think about it. When you look at this, it's amazing. Jesus, out of the compressed time that he has, takes about a day and a half, gets all his guys, everybody in the boat. They're going, whoa, man, we got something going. No, in the boat. Goes across the lake, heals a man, and he gets in the boat and heads back for one guy that everybody thinks will never do anything in life, including himself. That's how valuable you are to your Father in heaven. And then for that one guy, he kills 2,000 pigs. I thought that was cool, man. 2,000 pigs, man. This guy's valuable. I was in business most of my life, and so I always read this story. I don't know how many of you run a business or you're in business or you're getting ready to start a business, but I always thought, hey, cool story. Guy's free. Those other two guys lost their pigs. This is like the guy comes home from work, and the wife goes, hey, how you doing? Cool. I had a weird day. Really, what happened? Well, this guy named Jesus, like, killed all our pigs. It's like, and so, hey, let me just fix it for you. In that culture, this area across a lake was settled by the Greeks and was now run by the Romans. The Romans were terrorists, and they came in, took over the area. And so it's a Greco-Roman area, and in that culture, you couldn't own a business. The Romans owned everything. So the state owned the businesses. So here's a Jewish guy killing some Roman pigs, which I think is awesome. And then in that area, a lot of those pigs would have been used as sacrifices to the local gods. And it's like Jesus going, hey, you think your gods are bad? Watch this. Dude, I'm going to kill their pigs, man. See if they can stop me. Is that great? That's cool, isn't it? Jesus always took authority over the enemy. He said, you're valuable. Watch this. And when Jesus went across the lake and through the storm, he didn't land at the city. He didn't land at the docks. He didn't land at the marina. He didn't land at the harbor. He landed right where the man was. God knows where you are. God has never lost track of you. In the darkest moment, he knows where you are. And he's right there for you every time. Set the man free. Awesome moment. So here's this free man. And you know, when we read the Word of God, so often we see somebody have their life changed and they go, hey, I want to follow you. And Jesus is like, let's go, right? Follow me. This is an odd moment, isn't it? Did you notice that? It says, like the guy says, okay, I want to follow you. And he goes, nope. No. What? Wait a minute. That's not in the rest of it. This is an interesting moment. And Jesus said to the man, he says, no. Go tell everybody. How many times did Jesus tell people, don't tell anybody? Right? This time he says, don't follow me, but I want you to go tell everybody. Where did he go? It says he went to the 10 cities. In some of your translations, it would say the Decapolis, the 10 cities. These are, as I mentioned, Greco-Roman cities, and they start at the very top. They're still there today, starting with Damascus. So if you take these 10 cities and go all the way down this sort of circular way, The ruins are all there. Some of them still vibrant cities, and ends with a city called Philadelphia. This is the one that blew me away, because I'd wondered about this for years. I began to study it and research it and trying to figure out, okay, the guy went to the Decapolis, you know, next chapter, next story, right? Kept pondering this thing. There's a guy named Josephus in 100 AD that was hired by the Romans. He was a Jewish scribe. He was hired by the Romans to write a history about the first century. In fact, they wanted him to kind of do an Oliver Stone thing, kind of rewrite the history, you know, make us look good. And so Josephus is writing in 100 AD. Okay, let's do some simple math, all right? Simple math for guys like me. So this miracle, let's say this happened somewhere in 30 AD, okay? Roughly. Now watch this. Josephus is writing in 100 AD, and he says this. This is awesome. He said, when Jerusalem was destroyed about 40 years later, 40 years later, about 70 AD, 69 to 70 AD, Jerusalem was totally destroyed. In that period of time, the persecution and then the destruction of Jerusalem, Josephus wrote in his history, he said, those who were followers of the way, that's what they called followers of Christ, followers of the way. He said, those thousands of people who were followers of the way, as they ran for their lives, if you know the geography of Israel, you know they had to run away from the ocean. They ran east. It says they found refuge. They found churches. They found housing. They found jobs in an area of the world called the 10 cities, or the Decapolis. Watch this. Watch this. So in other words, before his people ever needed it, Jesus put into motion. This is awesome, man. Are you getting this? Jesus put into motion 40 years before they'd ever need it, through a guy who was a loser, through a guy who people said he'll never do anything, through a man that people said, what could this guy ever do? His own life. Come on, everybody, stand up with me. And God said, I'll use the people in the margins. And that guy caused a revival to happen, put churches in those 10 cities. That guy. 40 years later, nobody knew they needed it. Nobody, God knew. Romans 5, before we ever knew him, he loved us. So tonight in this place, this is awesome. You're here at exactly the right moment to be able to open your heart and say, Father, I really want to be connected with you. I reject the accusations of the enemy in my life, because you're my Father and you love me with a passion, and I thank you for it. Let's pray together right now. Father, I thank you for your word, and I thank you for what you've spoken to us out of your word tonight. Stay focused with me for a moment. Let's pray. Father, I thank you that there are some friends of ours who in this room have been spoken to even this week, like Kelsey was spoken to. Who do you think you are? What do you think you'll ever be? You'll never be anything. You're going to be a loser in a dark room the rest of your life. Nothing good will ever happen. You've screwed up. You've messed up so bad it can never be made right. And Father, right now, you've spoken to us out of your word that we no longer have to take the accusations of the enemy. We reject them. We reject them. Come on, just speak that over your life. Father, I reject the lies of the enemy. I want you to pray with me right now, everybody out loud. We're going to stand in an attitude of prayer. Would you repeat this after me? Dear Father, I thank you for your Son, Jesus. I thank you that before I knew I needed Jesus, you sent him to earth to live a perfect life, to pay the price for my mistakes on the cross. to go to a grave, defeat death, and rise again. And today, I receive Jesus Christ as my Lord, as my Savior. From this day forward, I will no longer live the old story, because I'm living a new story in Jesus' name. Come on, shout to the Lord. Thank Him.
Thank you so much for joining us online. We hope you had a powerful experience. We want to take this time to personally help you navigate the next steps in becoming connected. If you made a decision for Christ today, need prayer, or want more information about our church, go to our website, c3sandiego.com. And if you didn't get a chance to give online during service and would like to contribute financially, you can go to c3give.com and click on the giving option that works best for you. We look forward to hearing from you. See you at church.